We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Second down, air it out, Deontay Harris. He's got it, touchdown, another for Winston.
We got a lot going on, man. We got football signings. We got the NCAA tournament. And we got Joe and me Friday out at Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. That's going to be cool, Joe. We want to make sure everybody knows that we're going to be out there broadcasting this show live 10 to 12 at Seneca Buffalo Creek Casino. People can be placing bets on games they want, checking it all out. It's going to be a fun time out there. The promotions team will be out there, and we want people to come say hi to us, of course.
It's going to be a fun time, especially one of the best days of the year, right? Like, tomorrow's the first day of it,
yeah.
But Friday we'll have a lot of tournament action right after as well. Noon, probably, or like just after that, I'm guessing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The tournament generally, like on Thursday and Friday, starts a little bit after noon. They have a couple early games, and then really things start getting after it later in the afternoon and then into the evening and then into the night, actually. Tournament started last night, a couple of games. That Pitt game was real good. The old Pitt squad, right? The Pittsburgh Panthers had a 7-point lead with like a minute left, and then they wound up hanging on. And they actually, well, 2 minutes left. They had a 7-point lead. I was watching it. And then they were down one, and then they scored the bucket to win it. So that was actually a pretty good basketball game. We also have NHL news, not the variety of like player movement, but basically Gary Bettman and things that he's saying, Joe. This is I know you've seen it now.
Mm-hmm.
What is Gary Bettman talking about?
So Gary Bettman is saying there is nothing wrong with the NHL playoff format, and they are not changing it in any way.
Oh my God!
Not even looking
Nothing
to make
wrong.
Any changes. Like not even looking to make changes. I don't know. The guy. How can I be surprised? He is the one commissioner in sports that is in the year 2023 still refuses to admit that there is a correlation between concussions and CTE. Like he's the one commissioner that refused to do it. So, I just. I guess part of me says, what do you expect? The guy makes up his own facts, like that they have surveys. I still can't believe he said this. They have surveys from fans that say that they actually prefer boards with digital ads as opposed to not digital ads, as if fans care one way or the other. They only care if it glitches out, which is what happens. The guy just, I don't know. I'll always fight against any notion that he has been some beacon of light for the sport, and that he's taken them from, you know, where they were in the early 90s to now, and it's because of him.
Darius Slay could be cut. He tweeted out like a goodbye.
He has been cut.
This is a weird one.
Yeah, he has been cut.
He has. Okay, it's official now. Okay, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, or at least, I think, was it Pelissero? One of the NFL Network guys, I think, tweeted it.
Okay, I got you.
Yeah, essentially, I guess what they did there is they chose James Bradberry over Darius Slay. They only could afford to pay one of them, and they decided to pay the guy that was about to be a free agent and cut the one that was on their team.
But I'm reading Jason from Oh The Cap says cutting Slay would result in $22 million in dead money. Like, they're going to have that on their books for a player, not on their roster.
Are they?
If $3 million, close to $4 million. I don't know. Does that make sense? That's what he's writing.
That can't be right.
They could do it a post June 1 cut. They could do it a post June 1 cut, and that would make it $8.6 million dead this year and $13.8 million next year.
I guess that's what they're going to have to do, right? They can't. And they're up against the cap. They can't afford $22 million in dead cap, can they?
I don't think so, but apparently that's what they're doing. We'll see, but yeah that looks like weird, what's coming out of there.
That's a weird one that I did not realize the cap implications were that severe.
All right, the Vikings are re-signing Greg Joseph, their kicker. This, to me, is interesting because the Bills do have a kicker going into the final year of his contract, Tyler Bass. I've talked about how I think, you know, Gabe Davis could be a contract extension. The other guy I think is a very, very likely contract extension candidate this offseason, Joe, is Tyler Bass. Now, I know it's funny to talk about, well, it's a kicker or whatever, but these guys are starting to make some money over the years. And we've even seen kickers as franchise tagged around the league. But it looks like the Vikings are going to keep Greg Joseph. Let's see if we can get the numbers on that. I think someone has it. But I do think that maybe we're sitting here in the summer or in training camp sometime after the draft, closer to the season, and we're talking about maybe an extension for Tyler Bass. That would probably be good business.
Do we know what kind of money that is looking for? Like, is he going to be the highest paid kicker in football?
I mean, I don't think so, right? That's something you get maybe a little bit later on in your career. This is after 4 years. Yeah. I guess he could want that. I'm not really sure if they would go that high. I do want to get somebody tweeted it out about, and I want to get the numbers on Greg Joseph and where that lands. But yeah, I do think that's something the Bills will probably invest in or look to invest in at least, is maybe extending the contract of kicker Greg Joseph. All right, 803-0550, 888-550-2550. While we're on the subject of the NHL, here they go again. I keep thinking about the scene in The Godfather, or whichever Godfather it was, when Al Pacino Joe says, every time I'm out, they pull me back in.
Yep.
That's what's happening with me and a lot of other people with the Sabres as we go on here. If they win tonight in Washington, they are right back where they were a couple of weeks ago, smack dab in the middle of this playoff race with games in hand.
And the only hesitation I have to get all the way back in on the playoff race is their playoff odds at a lot of these sites are still in the single digits. They're at 6% at Money Puck. I think they're at 8% at Puck Luck. Like, they are very low. But I don't know. Like, if they win tonight, how are they not in it? If they win tonight, they are above the Islanders in terms of point percentage. That's the team you're trying to track down, and you still have a game against them. You have the games in hand. The Islanders, by the way, do play against the Ducks tonight, so they would have a higher point percentage at least for a couple of hours, and then maybe, you know, through to tomorrow if they were to lose. But the Islanders are, they're gettable. I mean, the Penguins have run away with their spot a little bit, so suddenly there's only one spot available to the Sabres, but they've got a shot at it. If they can make up those games in hand, win even two of the three, you win your game head-to-head against New York, like, there's no reason that they can't make it. And Tuck being back now, I mean, more so than even Samuelson or anyone they were missing on the blue line, except Dahlin when he missed those couple games. Tuck, you see everything that top line does is easier when he is out there. There's more space for Thompson. There's more space for Skinner. He finishes goals that maybe Jordan Greenway wouldn't be finishing, as he scored two goals against Toronto. Tuck is just, he is so pivotal to their being able to score.
I mean, what he provides, you know, his speed and what you said, all of those things, obviously was missing. But I also think the big thing is Dahlin maybe being healthy. I know Stillman inserted in the lineup. Samuelson, if he can get back healthy, that would be a big boost. It's never been the offense that's been the issue with this team. I agree with you. Tuck, like, makes that, you know, so much more so. If you don't have him, they can struggle in that area. But, Joe, that's the thing I always worry about, is can you stop teams from getting 40 shots on goal and scoring five goals?
Right, and can you get games? Can you get your goalie to steal a game for you once in a while?
Right.
And I don't know that they've stolen games from them, but, you know, Anderson's playing well right now, and you've got Lukanen playing better, right? Better than he had been for a while there. And those now are your two goaltenders. Comrie is out. Lukanen's going to play a lot more, I think, down the stretch here. And he's talented, right? Like 6'5". Even if your blue line's given up, you know, more shots than you would want, maybe Lukanen gets hot down the stretch here. That's one thing that do we know what that looks like? Even when Lukanen was winning, he was still at like an .890 save percentage. What are the Sabres if they get a hot goalie? If Lukanen just goes on a tear for 2 weeks? Because, I don't really think he even has done that this year, even when he was playing well.
Looking at tonight's games, last night, Joe, you could not have dreamed a better scenario last night. Every single team fighting for these playoff spots that the Sabres are fighting for, every single team that was playing last night lost in regulation. It was the dream scenario in the out-of-town scoreboard last night.
Did you watch any of those games?
I did, a little bit. Which ones? I watched Pittsburgh-Montreal a little bit. Up, Pittsburgh comes back, and then Montreal winds up winning the game. Pittsburgh had a couple late chances but couldn't put it in.
The one I watched a little of this morning was actually the Kings-Islanders game.
I saw the power play they scored two goals on. I did see that. There was an unsportsmanlike conduct.
Yes.
And who's the coach of the Islanders again?
Forget.
Yeah, Joe. He looked like he
Lane
wanted
Lambert.
To.
Lane Lambert.
He looked. I thought to myself, I would not want to play for this guy right now. He looked so mad on the bench, like at his own team, basically, when this was happening.
Yeah.
Not at the referees necessarily. He was just. The look on his face was incredible. And they gave up two power play goals back to back in the second period, I believe it was.
Well, part of the reason the Sabres still have a shot at this, despite, you know, they lost 6 of 7 just recently here. The other teams above them have let them hang around.
Yep,
the Islanders have not put the Sabres away. The Panthers, who I've been saying all year they're going to get hot, they've still not gotten hot. They've let the Sabres get hang around. Ottawa has fallen back a little bit. They've lost 3 in a row. Like the teams that had leapfrogged Buffalo, except for Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, they got hot, and they're like, all right, we're making it. We're not playing around anymore. Nobody else has really put the Sabres out of it.
803-0550, 888-552-550 here on the Extra Point Show on WGR. By the way, tonight's game, Sabres are at the Washington Capitals, 7 p.m., pregame at 6 p.m. here on WGR. And Joe, that is a monstrous game. Like, these are the games you have to win. I think the Sabres are better than the Capitals. Now, they're right there with them in the playoffs. I think point percentage, the Sabres are better. The Sabres have to win this game. They've been better on the road. They've been very good on the road this year, actually. Yep. This is a Washington Capitals team that, last night they played, right? They were on the road. They're at New York. They come back. They're playing back-to-backs. You got to win this game tonight.
The backup goaltender probably playing in Charlie Lindgren.
That's right.
And actually, what's interesting about them, I don't know what they're going to get out of Charlie Lindgren. If indeed he is the one who plays, I might not want to assume that, actually, because they, right now, are riding Darcy Kemper, their starting goaltender, more than any team in the NHL rides a starting goaltender right now. In fact, Lindgren, who has not been that bad this year, like a .905 for save percentage for a backup goaltender is perfectly fine. He has not appeared in a game since the Saber game that the Sabres blew them out on February 26th. They have played Kemper 8 games in a row, and Kemper has started 22 of their last 26. They are all in on one goalie right now. Now, that could mean, hey, even on a back-to-back, they go Kemper back-to-back nights. But again, that is something that very few teams ever do anymore in the NHL. So that's another reason, though, to be hopeful, is you're either going to get a goalie in Kemper who's going to be fried, second of a back-to-back. This would be 9th game in a row, I think. Or you're going to get Lindgren, who, again, hasn't started a game in almost a month.
The good news is, as far as the other teams are concerned, the Sabres are chasing, the Islanders are still out west. And that's always something that's dicey for an East Coast team. The bad news is they're playing the Anaheim Ducks tonight.
Yeah, they are. They're tanking right now. And the lottery news today, right? Like May, is it May?
Yes, that was the other part of it. Go ahead.
What is the, I had the date in front of me and I just lost it.
March 8th, May 8th. Is it May 8th?
I thought it was May 8th. That doesn't seem like a long time though. It is May 8th.
Okay.
Yeah, May 8th at 7 p.m. So now they have a date. They can get fired up for, for losing to the Islanders, but hopefully, get a hot game from John Gibson tonight.
The Bills are reportedly going to sign Dionte Hardy. He formerly was Dionte Harris, if you want to learn more about him.
Are you also having to stop yourself from saying Dionte Harris? Because that's like, I'm almost saying it every single time I say his name.
I actually want to say Dionte Johnson, and even though I know he's not a free agent, these Bills aren't signing him, I just want to say that name because I'm thinking about a wide receiver named Dionte, and I have to stop myself and remember what the name is, and then have to remember that, you know, he's had two names recently. Yeah. He was Harris. And now he is Hardy. This also, to me, now anything can happen here. I think this also kind of removes the Cole Beasley speculation, maybe him coming back. I don't see them doing that. It's possible. I mean, but you know, the way he talked about wanting to come back to Buffalo, he wants to be one more year. He tweeted out he's going to be the oldest receiver in the league next year. Just doesn't feel like that's necessarily going to happen after a move like this.
Yeah. Beasley was getting some reported interest from the Giants, actually. So maybe that ends up happening. And they trade for Waller yesterday as the receiver market, you know, dwindles. But what I wonder about Hardy, too, is like what percentage in the slot, what percentage on the outside, and will they bring in a definitive guy to start in the slot? I might want to think they don't now. Remember last year going in, it was thought, okay, rotation. Jamison Crowder, Isaiah McKenzie, Khalil Shakir. They're going to have a rotation, you know, based on matchups, based on coverages, what formation the Bills are in. That's going to be dependent on who's in the slot. And when they sign Hardy, don't you think they probably have a rotation again? Because even though I'm very optimistic, like there's Steve Palazzolo from PFF just across my Twitter timeline, that Deontay Hardy is going to have 40 catches for 800 yards and 12 touchdowns with Josh Allen. I love it. Like, there's a lot of optimism. But he's not, they're not putting him in, especially with the injury history, they're not putting him in as he's the starting slot receiver and that's it, right? Like, they'll have another guy that will rotate with him. And again, maybe that's just Shakir or McKenzie.
What do you expect from Aaron Rodgers today? Is he going to say, he's going on Pat McAfee today. Is he going to say, yes, this is it, I'm going to the Jets, it's all worked out?
If I've learned one thing, never expect anything from Aaron Rodgers. Just, I don't know. He's going to go on and say that he wants to be a Seahawk. He could say anything. He could say anything. I guess my question is, do we think he would announce that he's going to the Jets on the Pat McAfee show? Like, do we think he would announce it?
I think he might, like a LeBron James style
decision show.
Well, okay. Yes and no. I don't know if he wants to, like, say it's official, like, be, like, kind of the person reporting that it happened. I do think he would be willing to go on and say, I'm totally fine to be traded to the Jets if that's, you know, or something to that effect. I think he will basically give the green light for all of us to know what's going to happen. And the reason I think that is, Aaron just does not really like traditional media people. I think he kind of, you know, just, we've seen that. I mean, he's kind of an interesting, different kind of guy anyway, but he has a really good relationship with Pat, and he goes on his show, and it's part of the platform. It's part of his brand right now. So I do think he would have an interest in making that happen and saying that and letting everyone know in some way. I don't think it's necessarily saying, I'm taking my talents to New York, like LeBron, right. But you're right. It feels like that sort of buildup for a show where he's going to basically let it out that this is it in Green Bay. That might be what it is, Joe. Maybe it's, this is going to be a platform to thank everyone in Green Bay, which leads you to, he's going to the Jets.
Knowing Rodgers, what does he kind of want to come off as? He wants to come off as the cool guy, right? Like, free thinker. Doesn't, you know what? Like, I'm too cool for this. Why does everybody care so much about this? Like, he wants to be laid back and chill about stuff like that. You know how he's going to do it? He's going to go on Pat McAfee, and he's going to get the question about what's happening with the Jets, and he's going to casually drop it in. No setup, just be like, yeah, I'm going to the Jets. That's it. Like, he's going to act like, yeah, just this, whatever. That's how he's going to want it to
I know,
come
right,
on.
Right. Well, why did everyone make a big deal out of it, right?
Yeah,
because you did it. That's why.
Right, like, what is the big deal? Why is the big deal? Just,
I know.
I don't know. I have no idea what to expect from him. They might not talk football at all. They might talk about he's got a speech coming up at the that psychedelic conference that he's going to. Like, who knows?
Oh, my God. A lot of people would be really, really mad at that. He's already drawn this out enough. The Chiefs are losing one of their really important backup defensive linemen. Kalen Saunders is going to the New Orleans Saints. Saunders wasn't a starter in Kansas City, but he was a good player for them. He had 3.5 sacks in a reserve role, okay, playing 16 games last year. So that hurts the Chiefs a little bit.
While we're actually on the Chiefs, and you know,
yeah,
just on the theme of, hey, contender, competition to the Bills, losing guys. The Bengals. How about the Bengals? They lose Hayden Hurst today,
yep,
to the Panthers after losing both starting safeties, Jesse Bates and Von Bell, both go to the NFC South. And Kevin Cole, who is no longer with Pro Football Focus, where is Kevin
Correct.
Cole now?
He does his own thing right now.
Yeah, unexpected points. Unexpected points.
Oh, yeah.
He tweeted out, he's got a chart, and this is the 2023 improvement index. So basically expected points,
yes,
added or subtracted that from each team. And So the updated one actually has the Bills after the Deontay Hardy signing. They're like right down the middle, like at zero, which almost a little bit surprising, right? Like Poyer's not under contract. Edmonds is under contract, but Connor McGovern, Deontay Hardy, just whatever. He's got the Bills like right down the middle. They got no better. They got no worse with all of the totality of the moves. They've got almost right at the bottom. There's the Cincinnati Bengals, minus 30. The only teams below them, Baltimore, Minnesota, L.A., and Philadelphia. I think Baltimore's includes a Lamar Jackson departure. We'll see. But there's the Bengals way down as getting worse this offseason. And we had been wondering about how they'd be able to hold this together, right? Because the Bengals are known as a very cheap organization that doesn't like to throw a lot of money. I didn't even know today. I found out that they're suing the Ohio government, or they're pushing for like workers' comp rates to change or something. Like they're just cheap, right? The Bengals. The Bills went 5 years without losing one significant difference maker to their team. Like the highest name on the list would have been Harrison Phillips, who was like a rotational defensive tackle. And there's the Bengals. Their window just opened, right? This is year three of their Super Bowl caliber window. And already, boom, three players in one offseason that are important. Your two starting safeties and your starting tight end. Just like that. They are not even yet paying the quarterback and their two premier wide receivers. They don't even have those giant contracts on their books yet. Maybe they're projecting it, but they don't even have them yet, and they're already losing guys like this.
All right, let's go out to the phone lines. Marvin, is this our guy Marvin? What's up, Marvin? You're on WGR. Go ahead, buddy.
I'm your favorite guy, Sal. I'm your favorite guy.
We love you, man. And by the way, you know what I wanted to say when you called last time? Marvin's one of my favorite names. I love that name. Love that name, Marvin.
Thank you very
Marvelous
much.
Marvin Hagler was like my favorite boxer growing up. Him and Sugar Ray. I loved them both.
Oh, my God. One of the best fighters, in my opinion, in all time. But listen, listening to you guys with this Harding signing, and it just saddens me because, and I sort of alluded to this on one of the other phone calls, did anybody leave the Bills-Bengals game thinking that we need another 5'8 or under slot receiver? And I checked out his stats. He didn't run a 4.3. In the combine, he ran a 4.53. And so either he got faster after the combine. And it just saddens me because Josh Allen, his time, our time is our window is closing. And to not put money, cap money, in linemen, I mean, look at what Kansas City did. They should try to duplicate. They didn't have all these, other than Kelsey, who did they have? They had throw cast off receivers. So I just.
But they all play Brandon, exactly like Deontay Hardy.
Yeah, Hardy had 1 year. He's 5'6", 165 pounds. The guy is, accident waiting to happen. I mean, like I said, what's our obsession with 5'7" and under slot guys? I don't get it. I
do agree with you, Marvin. Hold on, Joe. I do agree with you, Marvin. I would like to get a bigger body in here at some point. Like, I'd like to have a guy that can do contested catches. I think that's something this offense is missing. I would caution, though, to think that they're done. You know, they're still looking at offensive linemen. They did sign Connor McGovern. I'd caution against thinking, I mean, we know that, you know, free agency is just starting. It really hasn't even started yet. The other thing is, to your point, look, I mean, if you want to go with the model of the Chiefs, what Joe just said, the Chiefs have done this. They got Kadarius Toney. They got Jerick McKinnon at running back. These are the kind of receivers the Chiefs have had. And by the way, they let their left tackle and their right tackle walk in free agency just this year.
Right. If anything,
they did.
If anything, the Chiefs have gotten worse on their offensive line this offseason, and the Bills paying Connor McGovern have gotten better on the offensive line.
Well, I wish we could have got the other Connor McGovern, but from the Jets. But the only thing here is, I'm just concerned is that our window is closing fast, and in this league, I guess your defense is secondary. You better have. We're going to have to outpoint them. We're not going to do it with our defense, and it saddens me that they waste that valuable cap money that we don't have. They restructure and they get a little bit of cap money, and you put it in the guy. Hey, listen. I'm not the tallest guy in the world, so I'm for the short guy. But, I mean, what is their obsession with these small – oh, my God. Hey, the guy comes across the middle, and he gets tagged. That's why the guy hasn't – that's how many – he had one good year. That was it. That's it. And to take that money, I hope Brandon Bean, if you're listening, Brandon, I hope you hit a grand slam – with the draft, because you haven't done it, and we're going to need it bad. We're going to need it real bad. So, Sal, thank you. I love you. Sal, if you were here right now, I'd give you a big hug.
Ah, I love you too, Marvin. Thank you very much, buddy. Thank you. Marvin, by the way, I was told Brandon Bean listens every day, all the time. He takes all of our cues from not only us, but callers like you, just so you know.
The receiver point.
All his cues.
I think the receiver point is so bad. I mean, the Chiefs, if we are going to compare them to the Chiefs, which is fine to do because we probably should. That's the bar to the reach. They're the team that's actually obsessed with receivers like this. Not really the Bills. Isaiah McKenzie. Who else have they had that's really in this mold? In any way, Deontay Harris, Hardy. Like, by size, it would be Cole Beasley, but Beasley is a very different type of receiver than Hardy is. When is the last time they've actively sought, let's go get a yak-specific, small receiver that's dangerous with the ball in his hands? Have they ever done it?
No, they've done that. They've done that with running backs, right?
They've done it with running backs. Right.
It's James Cook.
But
right?
Meanwhile,
I mean, it's J.D. McKissic.
But meanwhile...
But they haven't done it at wide receiver and kind of thought that the guys internally would be able to do it like Isaiah McKenzie.
Right. And the Chiefs are... They have Tyreek Hill. They still draft Mecole Hardman. They have Mecole Hardman. They still trade for Kadarius Toney. Like, they actively go after these types of guys. Now the question will be, can the Bills find a way to utilize a guy like that? So, and on the offensive line point, like, I think the Bills have satisfied that. If any want or urge to see the Bills get better on the offensive line, this is what it was going to look like, right? Like, short of paying a right tackle a chunk of money, which, by the way, they probably couldn't afford. Did you see the right tackle market? Mike McGlinchey, who we had arguments about how good he even was, and that guy got like $90 million.
Yeah.
Somebody
called here and said, you don't want that guy. 49, he lives in San Fran. He's like, you don't want that guy. That's a horrible signing. Then he gets like this monstrous contract, which wasn't surprising.
Right. If you wanted Brandon Bean to be committed to improving the offensive line, my question, and you're not happy right now, my question would be, what else did you want them to do at this point? Because they could still draft a guy. They could still draft a right tackle if you want it. But at this point, what else were they supposed to do on the offensive line? Other than exactly what they did, which was go find a guard that they think fits and give him a good amount of money.
We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. We are 4 hours and 28 minutes from the official start of NFL free agency.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.